Good morning, everyone, and welcome and happy Mother's Day to all of you. Just to all of you wonderful mothers and mother figures that are in our midst today, I'm so grateful that you pulled away from your pampered breakfast in bed or whatever was going on this morning to come out today. And I'm really delighted to be here. My name is Del, as Lauren mentioned. I am the mother of four children, and I have one son-in-law who's here too. I have a beautiful baby granddaughter, Clara, and that's my claim to fame and motherhood. And I'm just so looking forward to this morning. Mind you, such a hard act to follow. That's beautiful. I just want to begin by way of introducing three of our beautiful mums here. Just the Proverbs, and it was really on my heart, and we have it up the front as well. Proverbs 31. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh in the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. I thought that was so perfect. That's just what they've done here. Motherhood is indeed a sacred and spiritual calling, allowing us to reflect God's nature in our everyday lives. It is a journey that requires grace, mercy, and faith in God's plan. As mothers, we must seek moments of peace and connection with God amidst the demands of motherhood, finding wisdom and guidance to navigate our roles in love and strength. It's a journey of love, sacrifice, and wisdom. And today we have the privilege of hearing from three remarkable mothers in our midst. And so I'll ask them to come up. First of all, we have the lovely Zoe. And Zoe means life. And Zoe gave life to four children, which is, wow. Not 69, but four's good. I did four. Four's a good job. Welcome, Zoe. Thank you. Next we have Chloe. Chloe is the mother of the most delicious little boy, Arthur, who is basically the church's child. And Chloe's name means fertility, which is interesting. She's having another one. So that's pretty cool. And Rachel. Rachel is the mother of two very handsome boys, absolutely gorgeous boys. And I discovered that her name means you, which is like a female sheep. Now, to you might think that's a bit weird, but to me, as a farmer, I got really excited because when we'd buy sheep, particularly a mob of ewes, we would look for something called zero flight zone. So that means a ewe would stand there and have her little lamb at foot, and when you would walk towards the ewe, that ewe would not budge and it would dig its hooves in and almost buck you. So we looked for a ewe with that high protective instinct. So good name. Love that. So we're going to just begin now with some questions I'm going to have for the ladies. And I'll just share. I was going to share a little bit, but really I think these women have so much to offer. And I'd offered the ladies a few, just some questions to really contemplate, I guess, over the last little while. As you can imagine, asking three mums, busy mums, to share is like really hard. Getting contact back, you know, is this okay, are you good? Message Rachel, are you there? So it's a really hectic time, and I did give them lots of time, and I really appreciate that they really had thought about it quite deeply, so I'm really looking forward to them sharing this morning. And, you know, I was just thinking one of the questions there that I just felt to chat on was how did I find moments of peace and connection with God amidst the busyness and demands of my motherhood? And really, it really sparked something when I was thinking about my farming background. And I used to move mobs of sheep in a vehicle and lots of times like that. And whilst it was busy, there was also these little beautiful moments that I was able to have. And it really caused me to think about those times, how in the midst of our busyness, just God drops in beautiful moments, and he showed me a lot about how to be a mum in those times, and I'm grateful for that. So, yeah, it was a good time. So now that time has passed, and I'm a busy grandma, so it's great. So I'm going to start with Chloe. Thank you. Chloe, how do you see God's love and compassion reflected in your role as a mother?
I think it's kind of funny that, like, you know, that question was the first one to be asked after just hearing all about compassion and God's compassion and what that means to him and who he is. I think what that means, like, for me and how I see that reflected is, thank goodness he's so compassionate to us. I think it's taught me a lot in how to be that way with Arthur. I didn't know how much, especially the love, like you kind of think, oh yeah, God's love, like he's loving and mum's love and parents' love, that's kind of obvious. But the compassion side got me, because I was like, you have to be very compassionate, they're so needy, which is an obvious thing. But especially like this week's a good example, because he's been teething and so overtired, it's just a mess. And it's really easy to get really annoyed, especially when it's like, just go to sleep. Like, you want to sleep. We all want to sleep. You could just lay down and go to sleep. Come on. But realising you just have a need here. Like, you're just a little baby and something's not being met, or you have something that you really need. And trying to remind myself of how to put that first and put, like, my, like, I just could fall asleep so fast right now, aside, and putting him first and that being my, forcing the compassion or the comfort for him, but it doesn't actually feel as hard as sometimes I might think it would. After I spend the days I spend lots of time with the Lord, it's a breeze. And I'm, you know, his compassion is there for me when I am being restless and when I am being silly, or when he's probably looking at me going, it's really not that hard. Like, just do the thing, or, you know, talk to that person, or it's, he's still so compassionate to me when I need it all the time, and patient. I think that probably goes with the compassion. And it makes me think of the verse in Corinthians about he's the one who comforts us so that we can comfort others. And because he's compassionate to me, because I've had his compassion and compassion from others, but his compassion when I've most needed it, when I've been most hurting, when I've been most down or sick or whatever, and he's the one to care for me, comfort me, and that's the only way I can be compassionate in my role with him, because I know that. And when I try and do it myself, it just does not work as well.
That's beautiful, Chloe. Really early on in her journey as a mum, and it's just so beautiful to hear that you have to lean on God and to know that that really is the support, you know, in your life. And Chloe, how do you see motherhood then as a sacred and spiritual calling that allows you to reflect God's nature in your everyday life?
I was thinking about this question a lot, and I was like, sacred and spiritual, like, important work and spiritual work, and, you know, if you ask someone what they do and they're like, I'm a lawyer or I'm a doctor, it's like, oh, that's important work, that's like, that's good. Or I'm a pastor, or I'm a missionary, that's spiritual work, like, good on you. If you ask a mum, and it's usually, I'm just a mum. And I've been really learning since I had Arthur. Once I had Arthur, I was like, oh my gosh, this is really important spiritual work, and I didn't realise that. I wasn't prepared for that. It's just like, as soon as I saw him and then took him home and looked at him some more and was like, oh, I have to teach you, like, everything. Like, all about the Lord, though. More, like, you know, the obvious stuff, like, that you have to keep them alive. and that's important. Yeah, just that little thing. But it's also, like, the, oh, you don't know anything about anyone. Like, it's up to us to train that in you and teach that to you. And I think it is such sacred and spiritual work because not just anyone can do it. He will look to us before he looks to the world. He'll look to us before he looks to anybody else for the answers. And so I see it as, well, so I'm suddenly like, I don't know enough about the Bible to just like relay information. So I've never read so much since he was born. I thought I did. I remember saying to, I think it was to Helen. No, I don't know now. Someone, not long ago, after I had Arthur, being like, I didn't realise how much I still had to learn. Like, I thought I had it all figured out. And she's like, you're in your 20s. You've got time. It's like, oh, yeah, that's true. Anyhow, I see it as sacred and spiritual work because that is what it is. And that's been a learning curve for me. I think not a learning curve, but just like the onus. I feel that, you know, it's a good burden to feel, to raise him up so that he does know the Lord and he can love Jesus and have that relationship with him and also just be a good person and be kind and that's because that's who God is. And in our home, we hope to reflect that to him and we hope that he'll see God's love in us and in the way we do things and the way we love our friends and our family and just in who we want to be as a family. I've been especially challenged on, I've been reading Colossians chapter 3 this year. That's been a big thing for me. And it talks a lot about whatever you do, do work this diligently for the Lord. And it has the whole verse on clothe yourselves with love and tender-hearted mercy. And that's who God is. That's his nature. He's tender-hearted and he's compassionate and he's kind. And if we can know that even a little and pass that on to them even a little, and it could stick, then I think that is the most sacred and spiritual work you can do.
That is beautiful, Chloe. And just so good that you've realised that right now, you know, right now in the early days of motherhood, and to know how much and how valuable and what you're doing and carrying the weight. And it's not a burden, it is a burden, but it's not, because we can cast that upon him. But you really carry the significance, importance of, you know, what you are bringing in, and it's beautiful, the next generation.
I must just say, I think a big part of that is, I've always loved Kids Church and passionate about kids and young people, but especially the fact there is no junior Holy Spirit. Arthur can meet Jesus now. He knows God's love now. And so I think once he was born, I was like, that clicked on a new level where I was like, when you're in Kids Church, you're like, there's no junior Holy Spirit. He's here for all of you. But then suddenly I see him and I was like, oh, he's here in you now. And I think that's why I was suddenly like, oh, it begins now.
That's gorgeous. Moving over to you, Rachel, protector. Can you share a specific moment when you felt God's presence and guidance as a mother?
Oh, you swapped my order. So my story won't quite make as much sense, but that's okay. I've been reflecting, and I've obviously been on this journey. I've got a 9-year-old, so almost a decade. And I had spent lots of time before that focused on kids and raising kids in Jesus and how we love people well, and particularly our kids and families. It's something I'm particularly passionate about. But I've been reflecting, and there are lots of little moments across my life and across the last decade where I know Jesus has been at work and where he's definitely stepped in. But one that really stands out as just one of those moments that I sat in my car after it had happened and went, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, you were there to guide that. I was having a conversation with my eldest, and he was in one of those friendships that you kind of, you want your kids to have friends and you want them to be good friends, but it was starting to develop a little bit of an unhealthy dynamic where people, this other particular friend wasn't necessarily always kind or helpful, and we started to have a few moments where Benaiah had expressed he was feeling a little bit scared. but scared, and then it's in the conversation was saying to me, but Mum, if I stop being friends with him, I'm scared he's going to hurt me. And for me, that like it was just a Holy Spirit moment where I was able to start to talk to him, and I knew it wasn't me, but talk to him about the fact that God doesn't want us to be in friendships where we're scared. But that how we interact in that space, and talk to him about the fact that we can be kind and polite but still have boundaries and keep ourselves safe. That God's love is about keeping us safe. It's not about pushing us into places that we're unsafe continually. We don't have to. And in the conversation was able to say to him, you know, you see me with this person, am I ever rude? And he was like, oh, no. Am I ever mean? No. I said, I'm kind and polite. And he was like, oh, you are, Mum. And this is one of those relationships in our family life that he has struggled to understand the dynamic. And so to suddenly be able to give him some context around, he hopped out of the car. We was on the way to school. We pulled in. He hopped out of the car and I just sat in the car and went, God, you showed up today for me, but just as much you showed up for my kid, and I'm just so thankful that in this moment that was completely unexpected. We were driving to school singing along to a song from Matilda the Musical, like completely unexpected, God showed up. And I think when I look over my journey, so often that's what happened. It's not necessarily when I've come out of church and I'm feeling the top of the world and I've had a prophetic word and I know what I'm called to do and this is it. It's often in those moments where I'm not even expecting it. And sometimes when I'm not fully attentive to what's going on because I'm doing the mum thing, I'm washing the dishes and, oh, the washing machine's just beeped and the get down off the fence, it's going to fall over for my neighbourhood kid and my youngest. And in those moments, it pops up. And I'm so thankful that those are the moments that I have God, because he is there and I can lean and trust and rest in him in those moments. A, that he's got me, but B, he's also got my kids. And in those moments that they need to hear wisdom, when I'm not expecting it and I don't know what's coming, he's already there and he is reaching out to meet them in that space and provide for me in that space.
That's beautiful. That really just leans into that second question. Sorry, I mixed it up for
That's all right.
Sorry about that. But just how you show grace and mercy to yourself as a mother, knowing that you are a reflection of God's love. It's a beautiful example.
Yeah, and that for me, I think, is a big weight. For many years before I had kids, I did a kids' conference, kids' camps, and their big push was that in this space we are Jesus with skin on. And I kind of brought that into my motherhood. And I'm very aware that when I interact with my kids, I am Jesus with skin on. And what they see reflected in me is how we'll have a big part of impacting how they understand the Father. And in this current season, I think the thing that I'm most understanding and learning is just the space to be authentic. And that gives me space to show myself grace and kindness. I grew up in church life and I loved it, but definitely grew up in the church that was the flick a switch church, you know, the one where you drive to church and you're all, and oh my gosh, and why didn't you get dressed and get in the car and hurry up? And then you drive in the church and went, flick, we've all got our smiles on and we're all dressed perfectly and we walk in. It's great, it's wonderful, we're the perfect family. And I know none of you would do that. That's what I grew up with. And so I can remember hitting the end of high school and having this understanding that faith meant that I always had it all together. And faith meant, and trusting God meant, that it would always look good. And I would always be super joyful. And our church that I grew up in had a big focus on that, on being the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if you're feeling weak, find that joy, find that joy, find that joy. And that's important. But in this season, I'm learning sometimes the way I can be most gracious and kind to myself and most gracious and kind to my kids is actually being authentic, actually taking that moment and going, I'm not okay. I need to take a break. I need to sleep some more. I need to have something to eat. I need to actually just stop and spend a few more minutes reading the Word of God. And in that space, what I'm recognising too is that's what I want for my boys. Like, there's nothing worse than as a mum watching your kids and they're holding it together and they think they look good, but you know they're not okay and they can't or won't communicate that to you. And realising, I don't want that for my boys, so God doesn't want that for me. And so taking that space with him, with people who I trust and it's appropriate to be authentic, and then encouraging that with my boys, because it's in those spaces when you do open that brokenness and you do hold that life's really tough right now, that God can most show you that grace and mercy.
Absolutely beautiful, Rachel. How good is it so far? Beautiful. Zoe, okay.
G'day.
So how do you handle challenges and obstacles in motherhood with a sense of faith and trust in God's plan?
That's a really big question. And as I reflected on it a little bit this week, I'm like, don't preach a sermon, Zoe. Just get up there and share a couple of points. And that's what I'll try and do this morning. But it's interesting because whenever I feel like God wants me to share on something, he gives me the lived experience the week leading up. And it has been a week. So I'm sharing from my own personal experience this morning about trials. But I think the most important thing, and this sounds like the right answer, but in all honesty, it is the real answer, is to do your motherhood before the Lord. And it's just never been easier than it is today to be distracted by what's trivial or to be distracted by the copious amount of entertainment that's available at our fingertips all the time. And look, I can't speak for all mums, but I know I am so excited sometimes about 7:30 coming. I'm thrilled that it's going to be 7:30 at night. And I love my kids, but it means that 3 out of 4 of them will be in bed and that I might be able to crawl into my bed in my PJs and watch something ridiculous on Netflix and no one will ask me for anything for like an hour, maybe. And while this is okay sometimes, I'm not saying it's not, but I have to watch this. I actually really have to watch this because my spirit is willing. And my flesh is weak, and my flesh can be very weak. And my flesh wants to watch funny reels, but my spirit really wants to be in the presence of God. And my spirit needs to be in the presence of God to remind myself that he is always faithful. And it's one thing to know things theoretically, it's another to live it in your heart and to know it deep down in your soul. And I need to be reminded that he is completely sovereign in every situation and for my children in every situation that they face. And I need to be able to share and cast away my anxieties and my worries, because there's so many of them as a mother when you have children. You always want the best for your kids. So there's anxieties and concerns. And I need to be in the presence of God so I can relinquish control. Because as a mum, there's so many things you want to control so the child gets the best outcome all the time. And I'm going to digress a little bit here, but, you know, we don't have as much control as what we would like or what we think we do. You know, there are so many things that influence the trajectory and the outcome of our children. It'll be the choices they make. It'll be the relationships they say yes to, the relationships they say no to. It'll be the habits they choose to foster. It'll be determined by their genetic code and epigenetically through the family line. I won't go into that right now. By their gender, the time and history in which they're born. All these things influence who my children will be, who they'll become, and what's going to happen in their lifespan. You know, I was listening to a research the other day and he was saying there's over 400 traits that we possess that are actually determined just by our genes and have nothing to do with parenting. Now, I'm not trying to diminish the role of a mum, because it's like, it's just phenomenal, and the influence and the impact is just incredible. But it's very important for me in my time with God to recognise that, you know, there are all these things that are outside my control, and all these things are actually in His job description and not mine. And I need to be able to let go so I can, you know, everyone says let go and let God, but it's one thing to know that saying, and it's another thing to be able to live there and to live in that place. So I have to remember that I'm the shepherd and not the engineer. And God has delegated me this sacred, as you were saying, this sacred and beautiful calling to shepherd my children. And that means to protect and to guide and to lead and to do my very best by them. But I can't determine everything. And so I can let go of the helicopter parenting, and I can, you know, not worry if my kid doesn't look ABC or achieve ABC, because I know that God has a plan and He has a purpose, and I can let go of that control and allow Him to do who He is and what who He will be to my kids. I totally digressed. But that's a really important thing as a parent to be able to do. And do you know what? Oh, gee, I can enjoy my kids so much when I'm parenting from that perspective. And I just get to be present with them and remember they are different from me and unique in their own way. And I'm just going to foster who God has already set inside this little person to be and be faithful as a shepherd in that. And the best way I can be a good shepherd is to, you know, be walking in step with a great shepherd. So it's really important that, you know, if I want to be a mum that is replenished, and I mean replenished in, you know, that deep, meaningful, soul level kind of way, especially when there's trials, then it's just critical for me to be deriving that from my relationship with God and being in His presence, because there's something that you can acquire by being with God when it comes to being a mum that you don't get through ordinary time out. And it has to be in that time where you are with Him and reminded of His greatness and His goodness. So I guess, especially in trials, it's just so important as mums and as mother figures to make sure our spiritual formation and our being with God actually remains as the centre feature of our life, as opposed to some small peripheral component. And I know it's not always very easy to do that. And it's just so important, especially that we don't put that on hold, especially in the early years of motherhood, as the demands for time and for your energy and physically are so, well, they increase so much. And it's okay for it to look different. You know, so, I went from my spiritual formation and you know, being with God went from, you know, hours of prayer and fasting and high quality time to, you know, endless nights of rocking and walking a baby backwards and forwards in the room saying, God, help me. You know, so it's really important. Oh, I feel for you in so many ways. It's just so important to actually recognise the season that you're in, and you can do that and still keep your formation and your being with God as a centrepiece in your life. So then you're in turn able to be this replenished, authentic version of yourself to your children, rather than a diminished version of who you're meant to be.
Thank you, Zoe. Absolutely beautiful.